Live from Gulfstream Park in South Florida, this is a special edition of Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Welcome back. Racing Across America live from Gulfstream Park. Always happy to be joined by our friend Mike Welch. Obviously, regularly joins us on the backstretch up at Saratoga, but most of the rest of the year he's down here in Florida. So who better to turn to for some Florida Derby Day opinions? Mike, good morning.
Good morning.
Happy to have you on board. You've been out working already this morning, and you guys do a great job with the workouts. Let's tout a little bit today's workout report, because we talk about it all season long up at Saratoga. Workout report, a great resource for your handicapping, and I would think today will offer, particularly with the two maiden races, the first and the sixth, there'll probably be some interesting ideas tossed out.
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't have a clocker at Payson, and a lot of those horses are coming out of Payson. It's just logistically just impossible to do down here, but now we got a lot of good stuff though, regardless of that, and I, you know, throughout the whole card today. So a lot of reports on the Florida Derby horses as well.
Let's talk a little Florida Derby and a couple other races, but we'll start with the Florida Derby. Steve and I were talking about it in the last couple of days. I've been talking about it with people, and I said myself, with the post position, I looked for an alternative. I just think Forte is too good. I think underneath there are some interesting horses. Nautical Star, I'm going to take a little pop playing around with Young Frau a little bit. The Bill Mott runner, Fort Bragg coming in from the West Coast intrigues me. But your thoughts on the Florida Derby?
Well, obviously Forte, you know, lays over the field on paper. But the post position, you know, puts a little wrinkle into that. He's going to have to get around that first turn in some sort of reasonable position. And if he does that, I mean, he's supposed to win if he, you know, runs back or – he's supposed to improve on his last race, too. I mean, that was the first of two preps. You want him to get successfully better, peaking on Derby Day. So, theoretically, this is supposed to be a better race. And he did not have a hard race in the Fountain of Youth. So, that works in his favor. And so, by all, you know, reasonable thought, he's supposed to move forward to, you know, not his best race, but pretty close to it, maybe as good as the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, just talking numbers-wise, which would be good enough to win in here, and barring anything really crazy from one of these other horses. But it's all going to, you know, be from the gate to the first turn, and I'm sure Todd and Mike Rapoli and Vinnie Viola, they're going to be holding their breath, too, until he gets around there in a reasonable position. If he gets, you know, forced very, very wide or, you know, squished back to 9th, 10th, where he has to come around a large field, it could compromise his chances some. And if one of these others step forward to a career best, then it might get interesting. But on paper, you know, from a betting standpoint, you're not going to take 3-5 or 2-5 on this horse. I wouldn't.
Yeah.
You know, someone will. They're going to make him. They're going to. People are going to bet him the 2-5. And
offers opportunities as a single in the picks, maybe. I mean, there's $1 million.
Well, I would say that, you know, most people are going to do just that.
Yeah.
And make it a pick five if they can. So if he gets beat and we have one or two other pricey horses earlier, then the pick six could be in jeopardy. And that's a horse like this, it's all or nothing as far as the pick six situation goes, pick fives, whatever. I mean, either you single him or you just probably, you know, go in all and hope he gets a bad trip, because it's hard to really, to me, to single in on anything else in here specifically.
What do you make of, and I'm not sure, Maj, what do you make of that horse? And the career debut, I'll note that some people up in our area, the upstate New York area, are involved in the horse that ran second that day, Bourbon Resolve. But I wasn't sure what to do with him.
Well, if you had the clock report, you bet him. I mean, we had really good report on him, and he ran to that. The only first-time start is 7/8. It's a little dicey. Yeah. That's a tough distance for first-time starters to win at. But he was as good as his work said he was. The Fountain of Youth race was excellent. He's a bit of a buzz horse because of his effort in the Fountain of Youth. I think he's going to be way below that 10-1 price. I wouldn't be surprised if he's second choice. Fort Bragg maybe will be. But and he's trained well coming out of it, which is what you look for. You know, hopefully he looks like he's moving forward. They did the right thing. You know, they know he's fast, so they didn't ask him to go fast in the morning in his last two works coming out of the Fountain of Youth. They kind of did stamina works where they actually let him gallop out a mile both times. So he looks good coming into the race. Interesting that Javier Castellano did take off him, or maybe that was their choice, or maybe they had given Luis the call for this ahead of time, but he was out of town on the Fountain of Youth Day. I'm not sure what transpired there, but, you know, he's drew the best post of the major contenders in here, so that's a plus for him. But, you know, he too still has to, you know, in a 12-horse field, when they have that crush to the first turn, the inside horses could be in just as much trouble as the outside if horses on the outside try to drop over. So it's no bargain there either, so we'll see if he gets around that turn in good position. He's going to have to break, though. He didn't break well at all in the Fountain of Youth. So, you know, he's a young horse in a big field, inexperienced, and if he gets through this and goes to the Derby, people are going to be saying the same thing. You know, only three starts, didn't make his first start till the end of January. They might be better off here, no matter what happens, waiting for a race like the Preakness and skipping the Derby, but that's hard to do. If you if he runs well enough in here to qualify for the Derby, they're going to be...
The siren call of the Kentucky Derby is always tough.
And Gustavo, you know, he believes if you're not... He can't win it if you're not in it. He doesn't pass up too many of these races. He's been second in this race in the Florida Derby in the past with two big... 21-1 and a 75-1. He's run second. So I'm sure he's Derby bound if he could finish... you know, first, second, or even third might get him in points-wise, so we'll see.
Again, Forte looks tough, but intriguing underneath. A couple races earlier, it's the three-year-old girls in the Gulfstream Park Oaks Grade 2 event, mile and a 16th. I used Miracle in here. Atomically, given that race back in October at a mile and a 16th, that one's interesting for Pletcher, Sacred Wish. Dorth Vader was clearly better than that 46-1. The price was a little crazy, you know, particularly if you drew a line through the gas.
Particularly if you had the clock report that day, too. We had two terrific works on that horse going in. And, you know, on paper, I really wasn't sure he was good enough to beat the favorites in that race. But at 45-1, you know, you got to take a little chance. He got the absolute perfect trip. The track definitely was favoring horses off the rail. And you can use that bit of information, too, when you're looking at the Florida Derby today, because those horses that came out of the Fountain of Youth caught the same track bias. And I thought Cyclone Mischief took the worst of it that day. I thought he ran a way better than it looks on paper. Third in the Fountain of Youth. He may have run better than Mage on paper. I know he just beat Mage for fourth, but people like Mage better because of his slow start and wide trip. But that rail trip that day, that was a big effort from Cyclone Mischief. I actually picked him second in here. Mile and eighth, a bit of a question for him, but I just thought he was against the bias. Darth Vader had a perfect trip that day, but she came out of the race and worked terrific again. That 59, I had 58-4, that March 23rd work, did it easy. She couldn't be doing better. You know, a mile and a 16th, two turns, big question mark for her. Miracle is obvious off that big effort in the Rachel Alexandra. Other than that, you know, the question is how this race is going to play out. Miracle is speed. Darth Vader has speed. I'm guessing after she rated off the pace to win in the Devona Dale, they'll let her sit off Miracle, too. And we got to see how the track's playing today, too. I mean, it was outside favoring on Holy Bull Day. It was outside favoring on Fountain of Youth Day. Hopefully, it will not be that way today. If it is, Darth Vader will have a little bit of an edge there, too.
And finally, let's take a look at the Ghost Zapper. Interesting field in here. I tilted towards Simplification, having some, you know, run some good races here at Gulfstream. I think First Captain is interesting. And I threw Clapton in the mix, who also has run well here at Gulfstream. What do you see in the...
Well, I picked O'Connor and Simplification. We're far back in the Pegasus. But the Pegasus has since turned out to be one of the, if you're a key race player, which means that horses come back out of the race and run well, as big a key race as we can see. It's only been you know, 6 weeks or 8 weeks. We've had four horses that come out of that race to win. One of them won a Grade One. In fact, the first three finishers in the Santa Anita Handicap all came out of the Pegasus World Cup. We also had White of Barrio come out of it and win an allowance race very impressively here. Skippy Longstocking came out of it and won the Grade 3 Challenger, and another Grade 3 winner came out of the race. So you can almost excuse that race. And even Simplification came out of it and ran third in the Gulfstream Park Mile. I like O'Connor to make amends. Didn't run at all that day. Had post 12. The post wasn't an excuse. He just didn't run. If he runs back to either of those two races before that, I think he'll win. Simplification, you know, they're the class of this field, no doubt about it, if they run their races. The only caveat with Simplification for me, didn't work last week. And trainer Antonio Sano usually doesn't miss a beat with these horses. When they work every Saturday, 5/8 of a mile. He did not work. He has been training, though. I've seen him out there in the morning galloping, so that may be not an issue. I'm against First Captain. If he runs well in here, he won't be on my ticket. I just don't think he's training up to the race the way I've seen him train in the past, as well as I've seen him train in the past. And Sugar, I think, has been just taking it easy with him, getting him fit, maybe with other goals in mind. I'm probably not going to play this race, but if he is the favorite First Captain, then I may have to play, just because I'm going to try to side against him here. There's no speed in the race. That's the other really interesting part about the Ghost Zapper. There's no pace. The pace looks like the one. Surely Furious might get loose on the lead. The only thing that scares me, but I mean, I'm sure Glenn Wisman knows what he's doing. Look at his work tab. Look at his last work. That was March 30th, 5/8 of a mile. That was Thursday. That was 2 days ago. I don't get it. It's not Alan Jerkins training this horse. It's Glenn Wisman, but I guess he knows what he's doing to work his horse 5/8 of a mile 2 days before the race. Maybe this horse thrives on that kind of stuff, so we'll see. Or maybe he's scratching. I don't know.
That's interesting. I hadn't picked that up. Yeah. But that is an Alan Jerkins.
I mean, maybe they worked him Thursday at 5/8 because they were not planning to run here, and he's going to scratch.
Yeah, we'll see.
But if he goes, he looks like loose on the lead, so we'll see. But maybe that's not good. If the inside's no good, then you don't want him loose on the lead on the row.
And just quickly before we let you go, you've been down here the whole meet on the human side of things. Safi having a great meet, but Irad, oof. What a meet that guy.
Irad's in a class by himself. Oh, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, for bettors, though, the problem is you like a horse that Irad's on, you're going to get most of the time a perfect ride, but you're going to lose a point or a point and a half. And so it's give and take. But, you know, if you don't win a race, it doesn't matter what price you are. So when Irad's there, you know you're going to get top of the line nearly every single time. And, again, he is definitely in a class by himself.
Mike, thanks. Always appreciate the thoughts, and good luck this afternoon.
Thank you. You too.
All right. We also have some tape pieces. We'll kind of go through those over the next few minutes, and we'll kick things off. Talk to Shug McGahee. He has some nice horses on the card today. So we hit on some of those stakes runners and whatnot. Up next, Shug McGahee. Zapper, a mile and 16th, going to be the five-year-old debut. What are you looking for First Captain on Saturday?
Well, I'd like to just get a solid race into him. Win or lose, obviously, we'd like to win. But, you know, it's only the 1st of April, so we got plenty of time to on down the line. And so we'll see. He's trained well here over this track. I think he looks well. You know, I think he should run well.
Talk a little bit about that. You say trained well over the track. I know you have horses here. You have horses at Payson. How do you decide who goes where?
Well, with him, he trained well over this track last winter. So when it came time to pick him up, he spent 3 months up with Barry Iceman. I just brought him here because I knew he had trained well over this track last year and ran good over it, too.
What's the normal decision, though, about separating and deciding who goes where?
A lot of it depends on where they sort of stand in their training, where I'm going to, you know, some of the grass horses, because we can breeze on the grass up there. You know, we got the Tapita here, which I've utilized somewhat. And, you know, maybe some horses that, like I say, are a little farther away. And, you know, maybe some horses I've had in Ocala or something. You know, I just bring them into there and kind of get them legged up ready to go back to New York.
Sure. The Appleton, you got to have a couple of horses. Fort Washington, big closing kick last time to wind up third. Close up third in the Canadian turf. What do you expect on Saturday from Fort Washington?
Well, if he breaks good and gets himself in the, you know, in the right kind of position, there's some speed in there and we'll see going a mile. You know, I think then after that I'll get him stretched out. But he's trained well. I breezed him up there the other day on the turf, and I thought it went really well, sharp. And, you know, we'll just see.
How about Dreams of Tomorrow? Hasn't been seen since December. Nice win over at Tampa. But you mentioned a mile on the turf. The 12 post, I think, is going to be a little bit of an obstacle. Dreams of Tomorrow?
Well, I agree with you on that. You know, I was kind of batting back and forth whether I should run him from out there or not, but with the speed on the inside of him, maybe I can get it, he can get him over and save some ground to finish. He's trained well all winter. You know, that was racing, even though it was at Tampa, it was really a good race. There just really hadn't been an allowance race where I could run him back. I thought maybe the Appleton. There is one at Keeneland, but I thought maybe the Appleton might compare to an allowance race at Keeneland, so that was why I decided on here.
Now, Drama Chorus given the cue to come after that big favorite as they come to the quarter pole. Dreams of Tomorrow still just in behind them, is a length and a half behind the leader up front, who is Never Surprised. Never Surprised into the lane. The lead still three quarters of a length. Drama Chorus on the outside. Room Presents down at the inside for Dreams of Tomorrow, who tries to come on through at the furlong pole. Here's Dreams of Tomorrow, who surges to the front now. Never Surprised is back to second. Drama Chorus third. Dreams of Tomorrow and Sammy Camacho got on through Dreams of Tomorrow.
Personal best goes in the Orchid. Lifetime best buyer last time in the four-year-old debut, winning the La Proviante. Talk a little bit about personal best.
Well, she's a filly we've always had high hopes for because of her pedigree and her looks and stuff. And really, all her races were good races. And when we got her stretched out the last time, it paid big dividends. And I learned a lot about her in the shorter races. You know, he kind of had to keep her up there, and she'd get kind of a little bit on the muscle with him. The other day going long, he just kind of let her run her race. And she was very relaxed, and I think that was the key to her effort.
Personal best still not asked to kick yet. She's in the clear with no traffic trouble, and they're at the top of the stretch. It's Adventuring with Work to Do. Transient is second. Now Irad says it's time to go to work for Personal Best, who's charging hard down the center. Final eighth of a mile. Transient has the lead. Personal Best down the center, Adventuring toward the rail. Here's Personal Best. She's in time and winning the La Proviante by a neck in the end. From Transient second, Adventuring third, beside herself fourth. She never looked like a loser. Personal Best. 226 flat.
Always excited about the first time starters, and you have one kicking off Saturday. Ojima Bay?
I don't know.
Tell us a little bit about
what you expect. I call her Ojima Bay.
Okay.
Well, I mean, she's a well-bred filly. Belongs to a family that I've known and been friends with, really for a long time. Great bunch of people. And I'm sure they kept her for a broodmare. I'm anxious to get her started. I think her future will be down the line. She's not grown a whole lot. So, I haven't really pounded on her, but I'm interested in getting her started. She has not ever been on the grass, so I can't tell you whether she's gonna like it or not, but she's a half-sister to Dividurso, so she ought to like it. And so we'll see.
And what are your plans from here? When do you head north, and where do you go from here?
On our way, we've got five or six in New York now. Five. I sent six up there, and one went back to farm. And then we've got some more going tomorrow. Keeneland on Sunday, and a bunch are going to Belmont on Monday. And then really what'll be left at Pace and Park will be just a few kind of leftovers, and horses maybe are going to Fairhill.
Very good, Chuck. Appreciate it. Good luck on Saturday.
All right, Seth. Thank you.
Thanks to Shug for taking the time to talk with us a little bit about some of his runners for this afternoon. Safi Joseph came into the last few days. I didn't look this morning to see if mathematically he's in a position to claim the title already, but he's got to be pretty close to being the leading trainer at the meet. Todd Pletcher second, but as I say, Safi had about a seven win lead, so again, we'll see what he does over the next couple of days, but he's sitting on the verge of being the leading trainer. Goes into the Florida Derby with four horses. Safi Joseph, four entrants into this afternoon's Florida Derby. We talked about those and a little more with Safi Joseph. He's up next. All right, we're here with Safi Joseph, four in Saturday's Florida Derby. Let's talk a little bit about the horses. West Coast Cowboy, third in the Holy Bull when stretching the two turns in the three-year-old debut. So improved buyer figure, seemed to improve the stretch out. Talk a little bit about West Coast Cowboy.
Yeah, I mean, the Holy Bull, he ran above expectations. Not a very flashy workhorse. I mean, it's coming off of poor work going into the Holy Bull. And they ran much better than we thought. Similar scenario here. His last work was pretty poor. And hopefully he runs as good as he ran in the Holy Bull.
How do you make a decision off of something like that?
I mean, the Holy Bull was kind of hesitant. Like, he had worked, I mean, decent up to then, and his last work, it was like, cool. But all checked it well with him, and we decided to give it a go. Actually, the agent was kind of like, come on, you've been planning for this race the whole time, give him a chance, and he was right. I mean, thankfully I did it. It makes you learn a bit more that horses don't always have to work up to expectations and then go for the rest of the form.
So, do you think the two turns did help him?
Yeah, most definitely. He's kind of, even horses don't really have much of a quick acceleration, so I think the turn does help him. He's like a main role, so he's also improving just in general as he gets older.
have two in here with really similar scenarios. I'm interested to hear about those. They're both new to your barn, and they're both, you know, kind of making third starts off of some sprints. And first of those is Mr. Peaks. Third start after a couple of 6-furlong sprints. Talk about Mr. Peaks.
Yeah, I mean, Mr. Peaks is a private purchase. Obviously, we haven't had him long. Portion of the last race, he ran a very credible second to older horses. For a 3-year-old to run against older horses this time of year, I think it's very hard to do. He ran an 87 bar. You would think if he can get in distance, that's a big question mark. We've only had one work, because we only had Tank Weiss working once. Pedigree-wise, you say it's possible. But if he can get in distance, I think he's a legit horse on the ability. This is a question mark. Obviously, he's a third start against these kind of horses also. That's a big bit of a knock. I'm not really concerned with the experience or the distance is the question.
And Nautical Star, I find Nautical Star kind of interesting. He comes over off a couple of starts in Oakland, but again, same scenario, third start, stretching up.
Yeah, Nautical Star, we've had him a bit more time. Again, another private purchase by C.J. Harrison. We've had him a bit more. We always said if we could get a series of works into him and work well, we would run him in the Florida Derby, and his last work was his best yet. We worked with Red Sports and Cowboy, he sat off him. Beat it by 4 or 5 lengths. It's a very, very good work. First time going through turns, obviously. He's going to have to ask that question, but if he does, he's a horse that can get a piece of it.
CQ racing the Guayna Barrio.
Yeah, when they won Guayna Barrio, and obviously, winning in the last year was important to them, and that's why they've invested a lot more money on these purchases to try to give it a go again.
So are they shopping around? Because, as I said, the book just went out all four.
Yeah, Mark Cornett. Mark and Mike Cornett, both brothers. Mark's kind of scouts the horses, and he's always looking to buy horses off the track. That's how he came to base the horses.
And finally, Mr. Ripple, third to Cyclone Mischief in that freaky race that Cyclone Mischief ran, and then second to stretch of a mile and eight last time. Talk about Mr. Ripple.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously gone the distance already, so he's the most current horse in form. Out of all horses, you get to say he's probably the most proven one. He ran a decent second last time. What I like most about him is that he's coming into this race without a layoff. Each time he's had a layoff, a setback, he's been sick or missed some training. And this time he's coming in with no gaps in between races and off of a mile away prep. So I think he should run well. It's Forte's race to win, basically. He's a deserving favorite by far. Even although he's drawn wide, I think he's the best horse at least amongst. But it is a horse race, and we throw him in, and we're doing well, and we go for the best.
You have a number of other horses on the card on Saturday, but I wanted to touch a little bit at this point, as we talked on Friday, a leading trainer, a nice little margin. It's not sold up yet. I'm just curious, you won the leading trainer title last year. What goes into it? The team involved, and what does it mean to you to be battling down the last weekend for the trainer cover?
I mean, it means everything. Growing up top notch, you look at things, it's like a highly look at him racing and where he carries himself, what he's achieved is second to none. So to be able to compete against him, beat him last year, and then have an opportunity again to do it, it means everything to us. So I'm the most least of puzzle, basically. As I said, it's a puzzle. I'm one piece of it, it's 1,000 pieces. So this shows you how significant I am. Lawrence provided his horses, and all the staff at the barn doing the work. I mean, they work day in and day out. They don't get enough credit. They are the reason for success. There's no two reasons. I'm all forever thankful for having a great team that worked together. That's what you need. You need teamwork. Everyone has a team.
Congratulations on a great meet. Good luck going forward. We're aiming for the trainer title over the last couple of days. Good luck on Saturday.
Thank you very much.
Excellent. Thank you.
Safi Joseph, 4 in the Florida Derby this afternoon. And I think Nautical Star is a little bit intriguing. All right, we also caught up with Dale Romans. He has a few in today as well. Always fun to talk to Dale. He'll kick things off with an interesting firster in the maiden special in race 1, Malibu Smart. We talked about that. Some of the other horses Dale has in on this big Florida Derby day card. Dale Romans, up next. Let's talk a little bit about Cyclone Mischief. He had the big win in January and then came back and was the beaten favorite in the Holy Bull. What happened in the Holy Bull?
And they're off in the Holy Bull. Beautiful start for the favorite, Cyclone Mischief, but he wants no part of the early lead as West Coast Cowboy shoots forward toward the rail. Mr. Bob, he's up to challenge, and Mr. Bob lands a narrow advantage in the run to the first turn. West Coast Cowboy is there second from between horses. Cyclone Mischief is in tight. Legacy Isle works on his outside. They round the far turn. The pace picks up, and Legacy Isle shoves the neck on top. In tight, West Coast Cowboy from the back. Shadow Dragon is underway. Rocket Can let go in the red colors as they run to the top of the stretch. It's Rocket Can who comes away with the lead. Toward the outside, Shadow Dragon with an upset threat. Cyclone Mischief needs to do better than that. Legacy Isle is next, and they're at the top of the stretch. Rocket Can tries to finish it up. Shadow Dragon takes aim. 16th to go. It's Rocket Can responding on the outside, and Shadow Dragon. They come to the finish. It's Bill Mott. It's Junior Alvarado again. It's Rocket Can to win the Holy Bull.
Sometimes when a horse runs like that and runs as poorly as he did, to have the confidence to come right back. But he was training so well, we couldn't find anything wrong with him. So keep him on the Derby trail. And he came back, and I thought he ran a very respectable race.
And they're off in the Fountain of Youth Stakes. Forte was away cleanly enough, but Cyclone Mischief was first to begin, and he's ridden for the early lead. Up on the outside, Dangerous Ride has the same idea, so the outside two horses cross over and lead the way. Legacy Isle, meanwhile, angles off the inside, and Forte slides through at his inside. Rocket Can is next, and Mage is wide on the course. Il Miracolo is headstrong while third last. Second last, Blazing Sevens. The early trailer is Shadow Dragon. They make their way pie in opening quarter in 24 seconds flat. Cyclone Mischief has the lead, and he has the rail. He leads by a length. Over long shot, racing second is Dangerous Ride. Out deep on the course in Mage, three wide Rocket Can. Perfectly spotted early is Forte. The Breeders' Cup champion is only three lengths off the lead with Legacy Isle on his outside. These top flight horses have gone five ahead of Shadow Dragon, then Blazing Sevens and Il Miracolo. Half a mile to go. They go to the first finish line in the 2023 Fountain of Youth Stakes. They went 47-3 for a half mile. Cyclone Mischief. He's been in front from the outset, and he still has the lead. Rocket Can starts to make a bid second. Three wide Mage is third. Irad Ortiz Jr. has strong hold of Forte. He looks ready to roll. Just needs some open racetrack. Dangerous Ride calls it an afternoon. Then Legacy Isle as they run to the top of the stretch. Irad decides to swing out, and Forte is on the go now. Cyclone Mischief fights to hold it. From between horses, it's Rocket Can. Mage is three wide, but a big presence four wide in the form of Forte. Four across the course as they straighten for home. Out in the center, Forte tries to overhaul Cyclone Mischief, who's very game, but Forte's very good. As a three-year-old, he debuts with an easy victory in the Fountain of Youth Stakes. Here's your two-year-old champion. Here's Forte, geared down. Rocket Can second, Cyclone Mischief third, Mage ran well, he was fourth. Shadow Dragon to complete your high five in 143 flat. He's back.
Showed some speed in that race before winding up third. Yeah. What's going to be the game plan pace-wise on Saturday?
Game plan's the same one as we had last week. Just let him run, and if somebody outfoots him, don't chase him. Just let him do their thing. He'll settle in and relax. You just don't want to reach and grab him, I think, and take him back.
So give me your thoughts and your expectations for Saturday.
Well, it's going to be tough to beat the champion. You know that. Todd's horses are always ready. He ran a beautiful race last time. He's been the most impressive three-year-old. But take him out of there, and I like us as good as anybody. And, you know, a horse like that, anything can happen. You don't duck one horse.
Let's talk about a couple others you have on Saturday. Race one, you have a maiden special, a first-time starter, Malibu Smart, mile on the turf.
She's trained well. You know, pedigree screams for turf. I haven't had her on it to see, but the pedigree screams for it. And if she moves up a little bit off her training, she'll run well.
How do you decide something like that when you say you haven't tried them really on the turf and make that first start on the turf?
Well, if you look at the family, they're all turf, and that, you know, European dam and turf sire. So, you know, you got to try it. And hopefully she's a pretty good turf horse because she's done everything right. I mean, she's bred by the right people and got a good pedigree.
Talk a little bit about race four, optional claimer, non-winners at one other than Giant Game for West Point. Comes off a near miss with a lifetime best buyer.
He's one of my all-time favorites. You know, go back to his two-year-old. He's third in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. But then he came back with a throat problem. We had to operate on him, and he didn't come back well off that. It took a little while. The race the other day gave me confidence he's going to be what we thought.
And race six, Milan Mischief. Seventh in the dirt debut, but now you try the turf with that one.
It's a big filly. Does everything right, but she just isn't quick. So going further on, a lot of those horses can really accelerate on the grass. So we're going to try her over there and see if we can do something to make her a little quicker.
And just finally, I wanted some of your thoughts because I heard you the other day talking a little about Heisa, which is about to kick into gear. And you seemed really pragmatic about it in that not necessarily the way I would have gone, but here we are now, and you talked a little about Lisa Lazarus being open to suggestions and whatnot. So give me your feelings as a longtime trainer on the new rules.
Well, I was very anti until I met Lisa, and I see that she really doesn't have an allegiance to anyone. She wants to do what's right. And it's here. It's federal law. And so we need to quit all the infighting in the game. We, you know, divided we fall. And it's time to get together and try to work with the organization and give the horsemen's views and get it right. This is going to be around for a long time.
Dale, appreciate it. Good luck on Saturday.
Thank you, buddy.
Very good, Dale Romans. Always fun to talk to Dale. And again, we thank Dale and Safi Joseph and Shug for taking the time. I have to wrap things up. I have to be out at 9:30 because before too long, the pregame here at Gulfstream will kick off. And so I'm going to wrap it up right now. They have an 11:30 post time today. So, you know, expect, as I say, the pregame show a little bit earlier here. So I'm going to wrap it up. But we also have a couple more tape pieces. As soon as I wrap up the show, we'll go into talked yesterday with Dave Grenig, got some of his thoughts, Dave from the Racing Forum, and we also talked to Ron Nicoletti from right here at Gulfstream Park. So stay tuned after I step away because we'll run those right after the goodbyes here. But I do want to say a few goodbyes before we wrap things up. First of all, remind you, Kentucky Derby future wager this weekend. Keep that in mind. Always intriguing, and you might find a little bit of value now with that extended field. That's possible. Don't forget the big Arkansas Derby card today over at Oaklawn. But certainly, it is a very big day here at Gulfstream. Don't forget the $1 million guaranteed pick five, $750,000 guaranteed in the late pick four. Should be a lot of fun. Great card, great opportunities, nice wagering menu as well here at Gulfstream Park. Speaking of Gulfstream, we want to thank everybody here at Gulfstream. Always fun when we come down. The hospitality is always great. The TV crew, Dennis behind the camera, and Ben and company upstairs in the control room. Want to thank all of them for, as I can say, their hospitality here on the TV set. Dave Joseph and company over in the press office and everybody here in the executive area at Gulfstream. We really appreciate their hospitality when we come down on these big days. It's been a lot of fun and looking forward to continuing that throughout the rest of today. I'm going to buzz around today and try to get some post-race interviews. So tune in at 10 o'clock tomorrow, Racing Across America. Won't be a normal version, but hopefully we'll have some recap action for you tomorrow morning at 10 on Racing Across America. Besides the folks here at Gulfstream, want to thank our team manning the fort up in Albany. It was Dan Hayes and Dino Cantonacci. Great job up there and down here with me. Our man Mick Richards got the band back together. He was behind the camera down here. And Shannon Donovan from the marketing department came and lent a hand as well. So thanks to everybody involved putting together what is always a fun couple of days, but we're buzzing around and it's tiring and a lot of work as well. So I appreciate everybody who pitched in. I'm going to wrap it up. Seth Merrow live from Gulfstream Park. And again, it's going to be a big day down here. And it will play into some of the various divisions going forward, highlighted by obviously the three-year-olds heading to the Kentucky Derby, the three-year-old fillies headed to the Kentucky Oaks with the Florida Derby and the Gulfstream Park Oaks. Great card, great undercard, the non-stakes races, that first and the sixth maidens. I think some nice horses will come out of those. Looking forward to it. Hopefully you are too. Hopefully we gave you some good insights on the day, and we'll all cash some tickets. So good luck to everybody this afternoon. Thanks for tuning in. Again, there'll be a little Racing Across America tomorrow with some recorded things, so tune in for that at 10 o'clock. Otherwise, enjoy the day. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week live from the studio. Joined now by Dave Grenick from the Daily Racing Forum. Normally we see you in Saratoga or covering New York, but you're down here for the Florida Derby. Has to be a good little break coming down the for me it was.
No question. Get a little sunshine and see some people I haven't seen in a while because, you know, the horses are up in New York. They're not there. So you get out of that athletic press box, it can be a little cold and dingy.
Yeah, I hear you. Let's talk a little. We'll kind of work our way back. You have some opinions on the day. Let's talk some Florida Derby first. And it seems like everybody I've talked to, and I've said this to a couple people already, we're kind of concerned about the post position, but it just seems like Forte maybe too good. They got a field of 12, but I still think he has this field maybe over a barrel a little bit.
I think so. Look, they draw a week out. So if you're a horseman with a three-year-old that you want to try, you have to enter the race because who knows what happens in a week.
Yeah.
The temperature, someone steps on a rock, you know, get a bruised foot. You don't wish any of that, but it could happen. And if you're not in the race, then you got to explain to your owner why you weren't in the race. That being said,
Forte looks fine. He schooled here the other day. Everything looks good. Barbaro won from post 10 the very first year we had this configuration. Big Brown won from post 12 2 years later. He may not, Forte may not be Big Brown or Barbaro, but against this field, he looks like Big Brown or Barbaro to me. I think he's got enough speed to get out of the gate to get a position, whether he wants to be up close and on it in the going in the first turn or second flight. I think he'll work out a trip. I don't think post 11 is going to be the reason to get speed. I'm not even sure who the second choice in the race is going to be. Might be made.
Once you get past him,
it's very wide open. Yeah. There was a horse that interests me from the standpoint of a long shot, kind of a wise guy play, and that's Mr. Pete's. It's a recent acquisition for Safi Joseph and C2 Racing. They won the race last year with Juan Barrio. The thing that interests me about him is he was second to a very good five-year-old. I mean, things are so desperate down here for dirt racing that they had to have three and up already in March. And to run second to a five-year-old is pretty impressive. A horse that was backing up a figure that he'd run second to a Todd Fletcher horse the first time, a la carte, a horse for Bill Mott, who Bear's watching in races later this year. I just was impressed by that. And now he's got to stretch out. He's by California Chrome. He should stretch out, be able to stretch out. Mike Welsh tells me he's supposed to go to the lead. I'm a little leery about that. But if he's, you know, if he's that talented, maybe he can hold on for sure.
Yeah, and that's going to be the game plan. If you like Forte, you have to find something clever underneath, I think. Or single him and find something clever in one of the pick bets. A little bit earlier, the Appleton, 150K, mile on the grass. Interesting race in here as well. The undercard, I think, is very, very intriguing. What do you like now?
It's very competitive, Seth, and I think the reason they put this race before the Florida Derby is because of the contentious nature of this race. It's a 12-horse field. I think eight of them could win it. Two horses that kind of intrigue me are Striker, the 4-horse, first time turf, last time at Tampa, and out to a mile, and blinkers on, and he ran his best race, and it was a holy. It was a 5-year-old who hadn't been out in a while, and he ran terrific at Tampa Bay. I asked Josie Carroll about this horse, I was up at Palm Meadow, or Pacing Park the other day, and she said, the blinkers helped focus him, but the turf moved him up. And he might be that, there's a lot of horses in here, a lot of speed. If he's a knee the lead type, then he's probably doomed. If he just took advantage that day, then maybe he can get a tactical position and get first run on the closers, and there are a bunch of closers here. Among those closers is Grace Fable. Fourth in this race last year when he was trained by Roger Hadfield. Phantom Currency won the race. He was trained by Brian Lynch. Brian Lynch now trains Grace Fable. When you look at his race off the layoff, the second in an allowance race, he's jockey Joel Rosario had a weight. And when he finally got through, he just got out finished with a horse by Super Dormy, who's in the spot, who I thought had a better trip. I think Grace Fable with a cleaner trip can maybe turn the tables on Super Dormy if they can catch Striker.
Yeah, well, I don't know a Striker because I'm with you. So
there you go.
I don't know what that's going to do for our odds, but I found that one interesting as well. And then I was eavesdropping. You and Mike Welch were sitting in with Steve Vick in the Horseman's Lounge, and I eavesdropped a little bit. Had a clever opinion of Gulfstream Park Oaks. Talk a little bit.
Well, Affirmative Ladies listed at 10-1 on the morning line. I'm not sure that she will go off at 10-1 at post time. But look, Graham Motion is kind of a conservative trainer. He was fine to run her in two stakes as a 2-year-old last year. She almost beat Julia Shining in the Demoiselle. Now, granted, the Demoiselle was running on a really sloppy, wet track. But she handled the mile and eighth that day. She handled the two turns. And she ran the dynamite race. And Julia Shining would be favored in here. She came back in the Posanda, I think it was, and ran dull third to a colt, who I think is a very nice filly who we'll see in New York next week in the Gazelle. You know, she probably bounced a little bit. Grand Motion put blinkers on her last time. She laid up close to a soft pace, split horses nicely and drew away. So she's got to win at the distance, over the track. I think she can move forward after that race. And I think there's enough speed in here, including the contenders, Miracle and Dorth Vader, to set it up for
very good.
For
Blade. Like Forte, and then a couple of opinions otherwise, and I think that's the kind of card it is. I think the pick bets may be very, very intriguing, and there's $1 million in the late pick five, three quarters in the late pick four, so maybe
that's a pick three right there. So it was a race this one. We just covered 12, 13, and 14, so if you guys get 11 and 12, I'll get you home.
Okay. Dave Granick from the Daily Racing Form. Dave, appreciate it.
Thanks, Sam.
Happy to be joined now by our friend Ron Nicoletti. We watch him pregame every day and in the paddock before some of the races. Ron, happy to have you on board.
Always a pleasure, as you know. And a beautiful weekend we have here at Gulfstream Park, so it should be a lot of fun. Florida Derby coming up.
And let's talk Florida Derby, because I've kind of been talking to people, and it seems like, you know, surprisingly somewhat, with the 2-year-old champ who looked so good in the 3-year-old debut, still wound up with a full field of 12. But it just seems like the sentiment is, and for me as well,
Forte is just too good for this bunch.
And I believe that too. And you know, you talk to Ira, who's of course riding, and he's just having a spectacular meet. He's won, has over 115 victories. I just think this horse, you know, it's always impossible. You know, they say it's impossible from the outside post, but maybe those other races through the years, there was horses that figured, I don't really see that one horse where now. He's got to get position. I think he has the ability to get the position and get, you know, where he wants to go. He has to go a little bit in the first race. You know, it's horse racing. If you break bad, you're in trouble. That's the way it goes. But I don't see a problem. And I kept going back, and I just don't find anyone that I think can stop him unless he's, you know, stumbles at the start or whatever. The case may be he gets behind the eight ball. Still might be able to.
Yeah. And anything clever underneath? I thought Nautical Star was a little bit interesting. Fort Bragg coming in from the West Coast. Jungfrau, the Bill Mott horse that I think is going to be a price that I think I'm going to toss in some fashion. What do you use?
Well, I was enamored a little bit with Cyclone Mischief underneath. You know, this horse, news arrived at Fort, they really took it to him last time out. You know, he set the pace prior to weakening. He finished third. Shouldn't move forward off that performance. I think he is a good shot. You know, a lot of these horses, maybe they think they can't beat Forte, but if they get the points, they could be in the Kentucky Derby. And that's what Dale Romans is looking at with this horse. I think this horse has a big shot. You know, and he's also got to sort of deal with a post, too, being post nine. So, and I guess the most interesting horse underneath is Mage. You know, it just has so much. Yeah, you just got so much upside, but it's just too much too soon, you know. And you know, the horse ran great, but we've seen this through the years. Horses, you know, one race, one. There's not that this horse is not going to go on. A little bit of a tough spot to be in. So I'm going to throw them underneath. But going with that race, I mean, I would not mind Salute Forte at all in any of my exotic races.
Like I say, that seems to be the sentiment. Majito, I just didn't know what to put. There's some folks up in the Saratoga area who were involved in the horse that ran second to him, Urban Resolve, in that debut. So I think they're probably rooting for a little Maj action. But yeah, he's so lately raced, I didn't quite know what to do with it. Didn't have that confidence. All right, a couple of races earlier on the card, maybe some opinions. The Art Orchid, a mile and a half on the grass. The undercard, boy, there are races where you can just point in different directions. I kind of went with Shug's personal best in here. But Atomic Blonde coming in from Europe for West Point Thoroughbred. We talked to Tommy Bellhaus, and they don't have a lot of these Euro imports with West Point. That was interesting to me. What did you see in the Orchid?
I really like the five amazing races, the German Red. I want a group two going a mile and a half in Derby. Makes its North American debut for Christophe Clement. First thought, he finished third to the Breeders' Cup turf winner in there. You know, Rebel's Romance. So I just thought this horse, maybe he's going to sneak a little bit under the radar. Personal, you know, best I took to Shug. That was sort of my assignment this week. He's very happy. He, you know, they found the secret. It was the distance. And I read relaxing on his horse instead of cunning him. And I think that's a good horse underneath. And Transient beating the neck by Personal Best. But I like Amazing Grace in there off that performance, I think. And Christophe Clement has just had a fantastic win and not starting a lot of horses, but just incredible. So that's one of the horses. Almost might single in the Rainbow Six. Okay. Not quite sure of that.
All right, very good. And finally, I always tell people when I'm doing my afternoon show, I say, go to the website, go to the Gulfstream website, pull up your picks and look for the long shot. They're always a lot of fun, and you've got a long shot play on Saturday in the 6th. Maiden Specials going a mile on the grass.
Yeah, this one, 20-1 on the morning line. It's the Archangel. It's the daughter of Rebecca Nigadoro, a half-sister to Kentucky Derby, Preakness, and Santa Anita Derby winner. I'll have another. Of course, those races were on the turf. You know, debuting for Roger Adfield, he's 21% with his turf runners. Sean Bridgman's the rider. He's very capable. He doesn't get the mounts here. So putting that all together, regally bred, I thought maybe I'd take a little bit of a shot. And you're certainly going to fall in between the cracks. And, you know, you get 20-1. If I get win place at showing, I think this horse will be a big price. And that's my reasoning why. It's just a sneaky little play for me.
Then 6 Maiden Specials. Yeah. Then the first race also Maiden Specials. Mm-hmm. Both of those races, I think, have the potential to boost some nice horses coming out of it. But it's that kind of a card. Really a fun Saturday. $1 million guarantee in the late pick 5, $750,000 in the late pick 4, and then if you haven't got enough action on Saturday, the Rainbow has a mandatory on Sunday, so it looks like a fun weekend.
Yeah, I just finished doing that Sunday card. There's a couple of really nice turf races in there, too, so that's going to be wild. You know, I always joke with my co-host Brian, I always say, put $5 million. he always goes up and he always right. I'm always wrong. I say, nah, it'll be $3 million. It's usually $9 million.
Yeah, they definitely send it in down here. They love it. Ron, always appreciate having you live with us. Hopefully we'll catch you up at Saratoga again this year, because I know you make a visit up to your cousin every year, and we always like those visits. But appreciate being here on Florida Derby weekend. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk again.
Yeah, you love the weather, don't you?
You ain't kidding.
We'd like to thank Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship of this program and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB throughout the championship meet. The Gulfstream Park Championship Meet runs now through the early April Florida Derby weekend, featuring high-quality racing throughout. Once again, we'd like to thank Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.